Good morning, comrades. You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning, Comrade. You can listen to us every Tuesday, as long as the world is still existing. Which is no permanent prospect that that's definitely going to be the case, is it?
Future generations, if you find this archive.
Yeah, if you can find this, like, as though it's hieroglyphics from ancient Egypt or something, and you can somehow decode the archives and the hard drives and the information. Hello to you. Congratulations on all of your hard archaeological work. You can get more information about us on goodmorningcomrade.com. I think you can find that in the Wayback Machine if this is that far in the future. But right now, we're in the middle of a... What would you call this? A crisis? An epidemic? A pandemic?
I'd say a pandemic. We haven't really reached crisis level yet.
What makes something a crisis, I guess?
There's a burgeoning crisis.
We're on the verge of a crisis.
I mean, I'd say, like, consider a crisis like mass unhousing or mass, like, loss of life, which has not occurred just yet.
3,300 people worldwide, right?
Yes. Which is a lot of people in such a short time.
That's a lot of people. But we're not here to talk about just that. I mean, we are going to definitely... We can't just ignore the elephant sitting right there on the sofa, right?
I'd say then a lot's going to happen in the next week.
To say the least. And if the less that happens, the better.
But we're not about that right now.
Regardless.
We want to bring
it down to a chill lo-fi mood.
Yeah, we were on the radio earlier and we got really mad.
I was real intense for that one. Talking about the restructuring of society and how the sort of like replacement of boomers with millennials is going to happen. And I mean, that is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's not comfortable to think about.
Talked to some food service workers and they talked about how bad the mayor is.
It ain't good, folks. Not good. Not good. But I do think it...
We're going to bring it down a little bit. Get super close to the mic, you know? Get a little...
Can I do an hour of ASMR?
ASMR? Wow. We're actually working on our multimedia going on here. We're on streaming on Twitch right now.
It wouldn't be fair to Sophie to do ASMR without her.
Yeah, she's
our official ASMR correspondent.
Yeah. She probably has forgotten more things about relaxing than we ever have known.
Anyway, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Trying to figure out what's going on with work tomorrow. I'm supposed to work from 6 to 2 in the morning, but now there's a mandatory curfew.
What time does the curfew start?
It starts at 9 o'clock for cook staff and 12 o'clock for bar staff.
So not at night?
Yes, 9 p.m.
As of, and this is going to be like a very time-sensitive episode, which is fine. We usually don't do that, but...
Carbon dating for those.
Yeah. As of Monday, which was when we're recording, the mayor of New Orleans and the governor of Louisiana and the president of the United States all went on and had their press conferences today. And one of the things that took place was... federal, state, and local action that would close bars and restaurants and gyms pretty much for the duration of, at least for, 15 days?
It It's going to be a while.
Yeah, and there's been some... I mean, obviously, this is extremely disruptive to somewhere like here, which really relies on, you know, tourism or whatever. There's a lot of service industry folks that work in the city. But there are some resources available, right?
There are some resources.
Have you seen them yet?
You've given them to me multiple times, but it basically chalks up to people being able to file for unemployment because of hardship, which is...
Hard times, daddy.
Yeah. A computer took my job, daddy. Well, a virus took my job. Shout out to the great Dusty Rhodes.
R.I.P. to the real one.
The American Dream, who has died, and things have been bad since.
Son of a plumber. What would you think about this?
I don't know. I think he'd be pretty scared. I mean, he fell down.
I think he would think... You took it all away. You took it all away. Take my freedom.
Nothing helps me relax more than Jeff singing on this ASMR cast. The lo-fi cast to study.
To relax / study too.
Yeah. I mean, WrestleMania got canceled today.
Oh, it did? Oh, wow. I'm actually kind of surprised by that.
Yeah. Basically, if you're not in the know.
I'm not in the know.
Which,
you are, obviously.
They were basically... Vince McMahon was kind of being like, I'll do it. I'll have this show with several million, like several hundred thousand people. But what he wanted to do was to make the city of Tampa call it off. So that
he was playing chicken with them.
So he can collect insurance money.
Right. And Tampa said F you.
Tampa is hacked off.
Now I have to go back and clip that.
Yeah, that's right. Timestamp.
7:30.
Tampa is pretty hacked off. So they're not gonna have the show there at all. They're gonna do it live from the Performance Center, which is where they're doing the 316 edition of Monday Night Raw from right now.
So it's on a soundstage, basically?
No, not a soundstage. Kind of. It's almost like an old NWA show where they're just like...
They're doing power?
Doing it for a small place. And it's like not even Full Sail, because Full Sail got closed, which is where they do NXT, the smallest, like... televised show.
It's like a college in Orlando or something.
Yeah. It's even smaller than a college, like, auditorium. It's basically a gym which they have cameras set up in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of weird because they don't have any crowds.
Yeah, wrestling without a crowd is very kind of like that. So you and I covered the debate on Sunday night, and there wasn't a crowd for that. And I don't know. This is sort of a funny. Maybe it's funny. Maybe it's more like a terrifying. It's something. But like.
Terrilarious.
So, but I guess my point is that like the idea of public. I mean, large crowds for the foreseeable future just aren't going to be happening.
Yeah, at least 14 days.
At least 14 days. I think we're going to be dealing with this probably for most of the rest of the year.
Oh, something that I'm not sure we touched on the radio earlier is disaster tourism is happening in the city.
Yeah, we touched on it, but we didn't follow up, and I think we should... Because there was an article that I read yesterday on the stream, and I can bring that back up too. about, because, what, today's St. Patrick's Day, right?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day? Tomorrow's the 17th?
Mm-hmm.
There were people that were going to, like, Chicago and Michigan and just doing a party from out of town just because they could.
Yeah, and it's clear that they booked these flights a couple days ago. Because that's when, like, that whole thing was happening.
But just, but, like booking trips to go to whatever destination you want to go to?
Yeah, but driving to and fro the radio station today, I definitely saw, like, people that weren't from the town, who you can pick out of a crowd.
It's not hard.
And, they definitely look spooked out.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a pandemic happening. And when I was driving back through an area that has very recently gotten, let's say, modified.
You talking about the Ninth Ward?
No, I'm talking about the Treme, right behind Armstrong
yeah.
Park.
Oh, boy, yeah. That historically black neighborhood that is now... home to a lot of, there's a lot of Airbnbs. There's a lot of white yuppies that live there. Some people I know live there. But yeah.
What I'm saying is, I saw it when I was driving home. They just looked, spooked out, and they were wearing their clothes like they were on vacation, and a lot of cargo shorts and white graphic t-shirts. And you could tell they looked a little spooked.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're at. And tourists generally look very scared. They either look very scared or they look very bold. Like they're about to just do crimes.
Right.
Like, I saw somebody on the day after, the Thursday after, Mardi Gras, just, like, doing some crime. They were, like, about to throw a brick in a window or, like, try to open a window and jump in or something. They were just, like, vacation bold.
Mm-hmm.
I was just, like, giving them the hard
eye. Get the hell out of here, people.
I was like, listen, the whole city is so tired right now. Like, please stop trying to do crimes. Like, you're stupid mischief. Like...
Or the crimes that you should do should be at least, like, good crimes. Yeah. Oh. So here's a couple of things that are trending right now on Twitter.
Yeah, what's trending?
SummerSlam. Hashtag Ohio primary, which got pushed back today. Here's one for you, bud. You ready? Are you sitting down?
Yes.
American Badass.
What about it?
It's trending on Twitter.
The Undertaker?
No, American Badass. And Moscow Mitch McConnell.
Well, who's American Badass?
So I'm clicking through and it looks like the American Badass version of The Undertaker is back.
Oh, yeah, he was on the show tonight and he beat up Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. Representing the Bone Street crew. It is the American...
That's wrestling.
Undertaker.
Now I also have this.
Little context. If you know who the Undertaker is, this is when he went from...
Dead man walking.
He went from a spooky...
He went from Booger Red.
Spooky dead mortician to a spooky, less dead, less apparently dead biker.
It was during the American Chopper days.
Yeah.
That was when American Chopper was real big on TV, and then The Undertaker was like, you know what?
A little before that.
You think that he was in front of the wave of American Chopper?
Yeah, he was more on the... He was more on, like, the, Kid Rock music. what's that called? They call it Korn. And all those musics are called...
New rock. New metal.
Yeah, new metal. He's on the new metal.
He would have been on 106.7 The End back in the day.
Yeah, he would have been...
If you're from out of town, you don't know it at 106.7 The End.
He'd have been guesting with Rod Ryan and Spinato.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a deep cut, bud.
Funny story. No, never mind. We're not going to go into like old radio.
Why?
I had a coworker who was good friends with Scott Spinato. It was actually Billy from that restaurant we worked in together.
Billy Berner, yeah. Shout out to Billy from the little wing place in Picayune. Yeah. Billy B.
Rip.
He's dead?
No, the business died.
Oh, okay. Thank God. Like, I'm glad our buddy's still alive.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, he was big into like
metal.
Oh, he was a metal guy. He was into like ICP and stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played it when we closed and stuff, cuz he was like the lead worker or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, no. He was like
Like a head chef or whatever.
Yeah. People hate it when I played music, because I only played like Lupe Fiasco and like...
Oh, yeah, that was your Lupe Fiasco phase.
And UGK and like...
I don't even know who that is.
It's a rap group from Texas.
Okay, either way. Anyway, so what about Billy?
He was good friends with Scott Spinato.
And?
That's it.
That's the story?
Yeah, cool. Second to it.
Cool. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is Good Morning Comrade. I hope you're having a very good morning. We're keeping it nice and chill today because...
Yeah, we're talking about drive time radio on our show that's...
Yeah, this is very meta.
Yeah.
Here's what I came up on this morning.
Okay.
Really this evening. DNC Chair Tom Perez says the states have systems in place to move forward with Tuesday's primaries after judge denies Ohio governor's request to postpone the elections amid the coronavirus epidemic. So Ohio tried to push back their primary elections at a time where it is being directed by the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that we shouldn't have. And I'm not like appealing necessarily to the CDC, but we're at a time where we really don't want large groups of people congregating. And one of the places where a large group of people will be forced to congregate would be polling stations. And there are, I believe, 3 states that are slated to do primary elections tomorrow. One of them being Ohio. And...
pretty important one.
It's a big state. Big deal.
It's a big swing state, is what they call it.
In the general election, it's a big swing state. In the primary...
not so much.
It can go a lot of ways. But anyway...
what does TP say?
Tom Perez? Toilet paper?
I wouldn't use him for what I used toilet paper for.
Yeah, he's not good enough. He's not even 2-ply.
But, what did he say?
Well, he plays some audio. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
My understanding is you're saying you agree with the states that are going forward.
Yes, we respect what they're doing, and we always encourage everyone. And I was in contact today with people in a number of these states, including but not limited to Arizona. And again, asking them if they believe they have the systems in place that enable them to put the elections on tomorrow, and they do. And Republican and Democratic governors have made that judgment that they can do that. I don't think it's for me to second guess those judgments, Chris. And so I respect that. And
so the guy who's in charge of all of the Democratic Party for the nation, all of the primaries and elections that are happening in the midst of this crisis, and I don't feel uncomfortable. I don't feel out of my line or out of place or anything like that. I don't feel wrong calling this a crisis, right?
No, it's fine. I was just, you know.
No. But I guess my point is that we're in a crisis. We're at a crisis right now is my point. And these local states, you know, including Ohio.
Yeah.
They're determining that we're just going to go through with it. Or even, like, actually, that's actually out of line. I'm wrong in the order operations here. The state says that they don't want to go along with it today. They say, we're actually going to freeze it, and we'll try and figure it out, like Louisiana did. We live in Louisiana.
Yeah.
We pushed our primary back until June. But for Ohio, they determined that, and tomorrow is Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio. But Ohio determined that they weren't going to do it. The like Secretary of State and the Democratic Party and Governor in Ohio, all these people were like, let's not do it. And then some judge rules that the governor's request to cancel the in-person voting and move the state to March 17th, the state's March 17th primary to June, like Louisiana did, to mitigate the spread of a literal pandemic, is not legal. So the judge is saying that it's you have to risk coronavirus to go vote. And like, I don't know. I do have a opinion in the election and stuff, right? I'm not neutral. But I do think it's not great. It's suboptimal. It's not particularly good for democracy?
Oh, it's bad.
If the conditions of exercising that democracy, that democratic principle, or whatever, is that you have to risk potentially your own death to do it.
Yeah.
It really ups the stakes on a very personal level, right?
Really makes it very stark that the Democratic Party is very, like, okay with voter suppression.
Democratic in name only, right?
Yeah, dinos.
All of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, they're dinos in a
it's gotta
lot
be like
more
a small D. It's gotta be like a small D, though.
Yeah, not cool. They're not a T-Rex. They're like some shit.
They're winosaurs.
Whoa.
Ah.
Hey, mark that. I cursed.
Oh, jeez. 23-21. You're giving me work to do, man. But yeah, not very democratic at all.
Yeah, and I know, right?
They're going the extremely democratic route of using judges to do so. And Tom Perez, the guy that's supposed to be in charge of the whole thing nationwide. It's just like, they're going to do what they're going to do. I don't know. But guess what? I could see if after the primary or after this round of elections or whatever, if they don't go the way that the DNC is expecting or hoping that it would go, and my interpretation is that it would be for, like, if it goes, like, if Joe Biden, who's the House favorite, doesn't win in the midst of all of this, you know, COVID-19 panic, because he's clearly been the pick of the sort of, like, Democratic establishment. It's not a question.
He's the House favorite with their thumb thoroughly on the scale.
Their elbows on the scale. They just did a Randy Savage elbow drop onto the scale. They just like, oh yeah, on the scale.
They put $1.5 billion into the scale.
And if it doesn't go the way where Joe Biden wins on tomorrow and on the ensuing primaries, which will all be done in the midst of this crisis, I have no doubt in my mind. Zero doubt. None at all. You know, hear me now, quote me later, that the Democratic Party will do the thing where they're like, well, you know what? That actually doesn't count. The election didn't really actually, you know, even the state Democratic Party and the governor and all these people were saying that it's not really for real. So it actually doesn't count if it doesn't go the way they want it. We get a mulligan. And that's going to be the excuse.
Pile of trash.
Yeah, and they're going to roll with that on the way around. So I think it's important to be aware of that on the front end.
All right.
So we don't have to deal with it on the back end.
So a lot happened when you were saying that. My work, I'm off of work for 2 weeks now.
Why did your voice get deeper?
Huh?
Your voice got deeper.
Yeah, I'm off of work now for 2 weeks. I just received a text. Business is closed. But Stone Cold Steve Austin is on my television right now, and I cannot hear him, but I see him, and I'm just feeling the spirit. So if all this does come to play, I'm saying we roll up to Tom Perez's office in some large vehicle.
Tom
like
Perez,
some large, ostentatious vehicle. And then he tries to, like, beg off and be like, oh, come on, I don't believe it. What are you doing? What are you doing? You can't do this. You can't be in my office right now. And then we swig a beer and just, like, Stone Cold Stunner him the hardest he's ever been Stone Cold Stunner. And he just, like, clatters into a pile of bones.
Are you saying harder than Tom Perez has ever been Stone Cold Stunnered before?
I mean, I don't think he's ever been Stone Cold Stunnered.
Are you sure?
I don't think it's ever happened. But, you know, up as far as the path forward goes, it's like, this is, I don't know, it sounds realistic to me right now.
We are sort of like through the looking glass in a very real way. Where, I don't know if we, like, in our entire lifetime, probably not since at least World War II, there's been an election that's taken place under these kinds of circumstances, right?
Yeah, it's pretty impossible. Like, this is a once in a lifetime thing.
Global pandemic in the midst of, which is a billiard ball effect. We talked about this with Sam Knight. Shout out to DC Sentinel. Yeah. We talked about this with Sam Knight about a couple of weeks ago, back in February, about what would the economic effects of the coronavirus be? And it was a huge economic recession, which is happening.
It's going to happen.
It's happening already.
You know the $1.5 trillion they put into the stock market? They flinched it. It flinched and just like went down anyway. Did nothing. The stock market is a shambles right now.
And it wasn't working for working people anyway.
Yeah. But, like, they just did that.
That entire argument is thrown in garbage.
Yeah.
Which?
They just did $1.5 trillion, and it didn't even do anything.
Didn't make a dent. Didn't change a single person. More money than would forgive the debt of every single person. Like the collected college debt of everybody in the world is 1.6, I think, 1.5, 1.3, somewhere in that ballpark. It's always counting up. I think it's around 1.5.
It didn't even make a difference.
But if you would have given it to the people who do have student debt, who have to pay that $200 every month, If you would have, instead of giving it to the banks or the fossil fuel companies or whatever, you give it to those people who need the money to spend.
Yeah, they can keep your whole economy afloat.
Yeah, but the thing is that the way the society functions, capitalism, right?
Yeah.
The point of it is to keep that, you know, foot on the neck dynamic permanently happening, right? So that's why they give it to the banks instead of the people.
Hmm.
You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans.
What are we at? How far along are we on this episode?
Halfway through.
Oh, nice.
This is Good Morning, Comrade. You can listen to us every Tuesday. WHIVFM.org/listen. GoodMorningComrade.com.
I'm watching the Raw episode, and Stone Cold Steve Austin is drinking beer in an empty arena with Becky Lynch, and they're just pouring beers down their faces. And I'm excited as hell to watch this later and see some context. Byron Saxton looks very beaten up. He's getting beer poured in his head right now. I assume he's been stunnered and has just been stunnered again.
R.I.P. to the realest one, Byron Saxton.
Byron Saxton has probably waited his whole life for this, but like...
That's the greatest day of his life.
Yeah, I'm sure he loves this. Oh, man. To be Byron Saxton right now. If being stone cold stunnered in a pile of beer was my worst problem right now,
I mean, I can do that if you want. I can do stone cold stunning in a pile of beer if you want.
All right, well, buddy, you're going to have to drive over here, because I'm not driving over there for that. You willing to commute to just wreck me?
Buddy, I'm not leaving my house right now. I am not going to come into contact with another human being for the next 6 months.
The words of a coward. You wouldn't drive here just to absolutely stone cold stunner me out of my f***ing socks. Timestamp.
This is supposed to be a chill episode.
Oh yeah, I got a little pumped up, man. It's 3:16, baby.
It is.
It's the day before St. Patrick's Day.
That's three strikes on you, brah.
Three.
You're out.
Strikes. 16 balls.
Now you said balls on the radio.
Oh, we can't talk about spheres now?
Geometry's out.
Wow. Anyway. Huh.
So anyway, we're going to have election tomorrow.
If you could call it that.
And it's funny. Here's a clip from last night's debate.
Play it.
Elbow bump.
Yeah. Just big on the elbow bumps. He doesn't want to catch Ebola.
But, like, Joe Biden just, like, walks straight up to the booth or the station where, you know, the moderators or whatever were, right into their face and just starts staring at them. You know, the most disappointing part about last night's debate, and I did bring it up while Mark Allen was on the air with us. But they did not ask Joe Biden at any point to draw a clock. And it's just a shame.
Yeah, he seemed pretty like... I don't know, he seemed like he didn't think people knew about that. But I guess there are people out there with, like, you know, cognitive differences and stuff. Like,
it's for dementia.
Yeah.
Joe Biden definitely has dementia at this point. I mean, come on. Is there any question?
I think it's like a dark secret that they're just trying to sit on. Like, JFK cheated on his wife.
We're pot committed to this situation, and we cannot let it go. Definitely not now.
Yeah, we can't let it out. It's almost like Reagan before Reagan, like, got bad. When they're, like, trying to run the whole state without him, and he just has to show up and talk about jelly beans or whatever.
He did love jelly beans.
He couldn't even hold it together to be like that guy.
Yeah.
Ugh. Man. It's wild that we're going to have like an epidemic and then an election.
At the same time.
No, like if this pandemic goes the way like the least stressful way, which it probably won't, we'd have to do an election after that. What a year.
Yeah, that's 2020, man.
The past 4 years have been people being like, well, this year might be better. Well, this year might be better. And guess what? We're wrong every single time.
It's always worse.
Yeah.
We'll reverse right. If the opposite of right was right, then we would be so right.
I remember one time we were in Mississippi with my uncle, and we got stuck in a muddy hole, and we were like, well, maybe if we turn left and back out right, it'll get us out. But we just only ever got deeper until we all four people had to like take our shirts off and push this truck out of a muddy hole.
Who else was there?
Oh, it was me, both Dennis's, and my friend Renee.
What a day. You got three boxers and you. Three fighters and you.
What?
Three fighters and you.
Fighters?
Yeah, Dennis, and Renee, all fighters.
They fought once.
Yeah, how many times have you fought?
Pro? Like, in a match? In a boxing ring?
Yeah.
Never.
That's what I'm saying.
But buddy, I've been fighting every day of my life.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We're like spinning them wheels and just like making like it so that you're digging deeper.
Yeah. Like.
And every time when you just try, you just go so hard, it gets worse. Not to say you shouldn't try to do good stuff. Like, obviously you should.
I mean, we got out. I'm doing this podcast.
But you had to get out of the car and start, like, take your shirt off and stuff. I mean, should we take our shirts off? Is that what needs to happen to fix this?
Well, I didn't have a shirt on when this Twitch stream started, and you told me to put a shirt on, so I will not take it off now.
Please don't take
it off.
No. Don't apologize for not taking your shirt off.
I'm not that terrible comedian who takes his shirt off and does like his stand up.
Which comedian?
Brent something.
I'm sure he's great.
Oh, he's not very good. So if you're a fan of that guy, don't at me, because I'm never going to tell people on this what my Twitter is.
Bernie Sanders did a digital rally with Neil Young today. Oh my god.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Did they talk about trains?
I don't know.
Dude.
One can only hope that they did.
You know who loves trains?
Me.
You love trains?
Yeah, trains are awesome.
I think trains are pretty cool, but Neil Young loves trains.
That's good.
Confirmed, untaught.
That's awesome, though. I mean, like, what is not interesting about trains? Tell me. You tell me. What is not interesting about trains?
They're pretty cool.
That's interesting about them, though. That's not not interesting about them. I want you
to
tell me something.
I wish they were cheaper to ride around, because I would ride around. I'd much rather ride around a train than I would ride around a plane.
Yeah, that's a policy problem, right? That's not a trains problem.
Nationalize trains.
Yeah. So actually, I this is funny. I. emailed someone who has done a podcast a long time ago. She does a podcast where she keeps an eye on a lot of congressional trains. Stuff. And she did an entire episode on trains like 3 years ago. And she's going to be coming up. Maybe that's she could be the basis of our show.
Can I be on that show?
Yeah. But anyway, the reason that rail transportation in the United States is so like terrible and expensive is because Amtrak, which is a federally subsidized program, which is mandated, like it's really weird the way it's constructed. And I'm gonna get stuff wrong here. I know I am, so just at me about it later. It's fine.
Buckle up.
But they're it's almost like NPR is a corporation, but they're a federally sponsored corporation. And Amtrak is, it's kind of the same way, right? They kind of get some seed money from the government, but they have to, and they have to essentially turn a profit to operate. The Postal Service is similar too, even though these things are not perfectly like apples to apples comparable. But either way, the Amtrak is funded at such a low level, and they're federally mandated to turn a profit. But they're also regulated to the point where they have to provide certain things. So essentially they get the worst of both worlds, right? They don't get any of the sort of flexibility and cost-cutting measures that would come along with being a private corporation. And they don't get any of the sort of like leveraging benefits that would come along with being a government agency. Like an actual federal department or something. So they just kind of get screwed both ways. And they're forced to turn a profit. They don't get the funding that needs to happen. They have sort of like price markers that they have to like, or certain services they have to provide by doing what they're doing. But the problem becomes it costs so much to do what they're mandated to do that they're just totally screwed.
Yeah, they're just a neoliberal organization.
I mean, it's not Amtrak's fault necessarily. It's the the laws that are surrounding it.
They get sold a raw deal. They have to do something they can never possibly profit off.
Yeah, they're being told to do the impossible. And then like there's also like tons of federal funding, way more federal funding that goes to airlines, which is a less sustainable form of travel. And a much more expensive form of travel. And plus, there's also like stuff that like the actual railroad, like the rails, they're owned by private corporations, and Amtrak has to, and I've done this before because I've ridden Amtrak. They basically give all these private industries the right of way. So if they're shipping something, like they take precedence. The Amtrak has to stop before the private, you know, logistical transport has to get passed, for better or for worse. But it makes the experience a little bit
more hectic,
right? And so like they're shared tracks. And it's already sort of like there's a psychological element where like where Amtrak is sort of like less important than, you know, transporting, you know, that tank or whatever, you know, that cart of wheat or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I mean, a lot of stuff still goes by rail. Most stuff goes by rail.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Per Amtrak's, I don't know, would you call it like a mandate? Mm-hmm. Are they supposed to like transfer passengers or cargo?
No, Amtrak is purely consumer rail.
Okay.
100%. Now, there's a lot of private industries like, I mean, one of the things I can think of is Northrop Grumman, but there's a bunch that are, not only are they just sort of like logistical transport internal companies, but they're also like connected with a lot of defense contractors and stuff like that. These are huge corporations that go through like different parts of the,
they don't need government seed money, but they get it anyway.
Well, they don't get necessarily get seed money, but they do get preferential, like I said, I was going to say, like preferential treatment on the roads, on the railroads, right? It's all still corporate owned or corporate controlled, very least. But again, I'm no expert on this. I would like to talk to a train person. Actually, my buddy Mike's a train guy.
Yeah, talk to Mike about the trains.
But yeah, it's been, like, I don't know. I'm really interested in how that operates and what's going to happen here. Because, folks, like, Europe can run trains all the time, like all throughout multiple countries, and it's awesome. But the U.S. just can't flip and figure it out, except for in the Northeast. You know, what's the deal here?
I mean, is it a factor that we are just such a big country? I mean, I'm not like trying to like shoot holes into you or whatever, but I'm just trying to like troubleshoot a little bit. Like, is it because we have so much distance and Europe is like the size of like the Eastern Seaboard or whatever?
I mean, that doesn't mean that we can't have regional rail in different areas and have it be connected by like you could have New England transit in that region, and you can have Middle Atlantic transit in that region. You can have, you know, Southern transit in that region. You can have Gulf Coast transit in that region, and you can have, you know, Western and, you know, Midwestern, and you could have sort of like a regionally structured system that would kick, you know, a certain amount. I mean, we have a vibrant system of internal, and I'm totally, you know, doing a little bit of jazz here, right?
Yeah.
But you can have a regionally structured system and then have, you know, inter-regional sort of like an interstate highway that would go through it as well, right?
Yeah.
And that would be a fairly fundamentally sound system. I mean, it would basically go from like inside of a city, which is light rail, to regional rail, to interstate rail, to interregional rail, or whatever, right? It could be structured like in whatever way you want.
Southwest to Northeast, or Southwest to like Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
I mean,
that could be like an order operations there. Planning, like flying a plane is a little bit more direct, I suppose. But I mean, again,
I'll tell you this for free, but people are very much more likely to catch a Greyhound than they are a train. And it's bad, because people complain so much about Greyhound travel.
Trains are so much better than buses. The worst thing that ever happens is if you have a train booked and it gets canceled to be a bus. Because that happened to us, too, because we drove up. We took a train because we flew into Portland a couple years back. We flew into Portland and we took a train to Seattle. And then we had booked a train back to Corvallis, which is where a friend of ours lives. Kimberly and I have a friend that lives in Corvallis. And it got canceled for a bus.
You know, it sounds luxurious as hell. A train.
And you know what sounds like it sucks?
A bus.
And look, this is back when Pokemon Go was a thing.
Oh no. Pokemon, no.
There's a big difference between playing Pokemon Go on a train and playing Pokemon Go on a bus.
Wow.
One of them's good. One of them sucks.
That is very
weird.
Guess
which is which.
Like, I've never, never thought of that cross around, you know?
But now, what else? That is the only thing you could think of.
No, I could think of a lot of things, but, I mean, that's stuck in my craw for a bit. I might be thinking about that for a little couple minutes, but
to where I caught my first Charmander, man.
Whoa. Charmander. Very good starter. Alright, let's go back to the chill vibes and talk a little bit about Pokemon. Jeff, what is your favorite Pokemon game?
You know.
Oh.
What? Oh.
Are you going to say you all like them all the same or something?
No, no, no. But I've actually not played that many of them. I did like Pokemon Snap back in the day. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, because we never had a Game Boy.
I remember I did play the original couple of ones.
Where?
But I did, and this is going to sound like I'm going to get owned by the Pokemon or real Pokeheads out there.
I'm not a Pokehead.
No, but the folks that are listening. Right? You know, this is released into the public, and that's not necessarily safe, so I'm going on a limb here.
Okay.
I haven't played Sword and Shield yet, so I can't say that.
But that's on the Switch, though. You have a Switch.
Yeah, I haven't shelled out the $60 for it.
You want $20?
I will say.
You. I'll subsidize your Pokemon habits, brother.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay, offline.
I will say this, though. I did like Pokemon Let's Go. That game was fun. It was very basic as hell, but it was fun.
Well, I mean, it's fun.
Also, I was like super addicted to it for like 3 months.
I have a DS. Would you like to borrow it? It has two Pokemon games. They're both good.
Yeah.
I really don't play it anymore. I think I might play it if I like saw you playing it and got jealous. You know, the old thing.
How could you not get jealous?
How could I not? Good question. You bring up a good point, Jeff.
You can't.
I cannot be jealous of old Jeff.
Catching all the Pokemon.
Yeah, catching all the Pokemon. But, yeah, I would definitely let you borrow that because it's literally just taking up space in my thing.
I mean, considering that we're on quarantine right now, maybe you can mail it to me, but make sure you disinfect it first. But...
I mean, I could come to your house. We could talk online. I have a reason to come to your house.
Yeah.
How, like, serious are you about this quarantine?
Kimberly is extremely serious about the quarantine.
All right. Well, then I will not come to your house.
Yeah. Either way, we'll figure it out.
These are future things, but I don't know how you would clean a Nintendo DS.
Alcohol.
We don't really have wipes or alcohol. We're a soap group. Like, since we're so good at like doing soap in the old ways, like we have not thought it necessary to use alcohol in life.
Hey, we always wash our hands. We've always been the people that washed our hands.
No, it's just like not like a
always wash our hands.
Snob versus slobs thing or whatever, but like
snob versus slobs.
No, like
you,
it's definitely
you
a thing
said it,
like,
not me. You said it, not me.
What?
You said it, not me.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just a thing where, like, I don't know. I've never used, like, the
sanitizer.
Alcohol. I just don't know, like, I don't know the culture.
You don't understand the properties.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know the finer points.
Of hand
soap
sanitizer.
Soap has always been the thing for me. But,
and you make pizza for a living.
Yeah, we have soap at work. I wash my hands with soap.
Cool, man.
We don't use alcohol. Like, the restaurant business is very traditional. Like not very on the wipes or the alcohol thing, you know?
It's classic. You know, that's what? Not bad right now. I will say, for some reason, you sound like you are way deep voice to the point where it's almost hilarious, but we're keeping that in.
No, like, I'm not, like, saying it. I think those are very good things, but, like, I think soap and water is just my thing, like.
Antibacterial soaps, to be sure.
Yeah, antibacterial soaps, like.
All right, so, in the last couple of minutes, I just want to say to the people that can hear my voice, I love you very much. Please make sure that when you go out, first off, if you don't have to go out, don't. But I know we have to go shopping and stuff like that.
Yeah, if you're doing mutual aid and helping your neighbors.
Yeah, if you do, for whatever reason, to help other people, you do go
out.
You're
still having to work.
Yeah, solidarity.
Yeah.
But
I'm not mad at anybody for going to work.
Wash their hands. Don't go to the bars. Don't go in any large groups. Don't do any social videos that aren't necessary. That's all. Whatever. That's all. Yeah, all that stuff. I think we're going to be doing some live streams now because I got so much free time.
Yeah.
And you can always listen to Good Morning Comrade on WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. You can also check us out online. WHIVFM.org/ Good hyphen morning hyphen comrade. You could also check out our website, goodmorningcomrade.com, to get more information. Scott, anything to say to the people before we go?
Let's say you do find yourself in a bar in the state of New Orleans.
The state of New Orleans?
Yep, it's a state.
You're in quite a state if you're thinking that New Orleans is a state.
But if you do find yourself in a bar and your bartender is being very nice and doing their job,
tip them heavy.
Yeah, tip them big. Tip them big because they need that money big time. They needed the money. Help them out. Service staff in New Orleans are really going through it right now.
They're doing a strike.
I don't have a job now for 2 weeks. Both of my jobs are not happening anymore.
Give Scott your money.
No, don't not give me your money. I am going to file for unemployment. But if you do find somebody that is working, doing deliveries or working kitchen staff, please tip them very nicely.
Tipping in
there are people that can really like do well from that.
Tip before you dip, folks. You heard it here first. All right, well, check us out on. We're gonna have a Thursday show, I'm pretty sure. I was talking to Aaron. We're probably gonna have one in the pipe. So, in the meantime, tell people bye, Scott.
Oh, bye, everybody. You stay safe. Wash your hands. Look out for everybody. And we all love you.
Love you. Bye.